We want to look at the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em and the corollary, the mitzvah of Mora of V'Imo, following in the Kriya of this past week, and of course the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Vayeschanan, and the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, in Siman Reish Mem, combines both Kibud Av V'Em and Mora Av V'Em. In the original Sugya in Kiddushin, there are two brises. One brisa asks, what is Kibud? And it's Machilo, Mashkeu, Malbisho, Machniso, and so forth, so on. These are positive actions. And Ezu Mora, and what's Mora? Mora is an Iser Aseh, negative actions. And amongst on the list of negative actions that have to be avoided because of Mora Aviv V'Imo, we have Lo Omei Bimkomo, and the Mefarshim explained that if the father has or the mother has a special place where they sit or where they stand to talk to others, and the son wants to sit or stand in that place, lo yo'omei b'mkomo, lo yoshev b'mkomo. And then it says, lo soser es dvarov v'lo machrio. And those are the two categories that I'd like to dedicate today's shiur to and try to understand what's included under lo soser es dvarov v'lo machrio. And this is the braisa in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Tana Rabbanan Ezu Mora Lo Omei B'Mkom Lo Yeshiv B'Mkom Lo Sosis Tvar V'Lo Machrio. And Rashi says Dibra Maskel Lo Machrio Im Hoya Aviv V'Chacham Echad V'Chacham Acher Cholkim B'Dovar B'Dvar Alocha Lo Yomar Nirim Divrei Ploni. Rashi says that the scenario is his father and someone else are engaged in a halachic controversy, and the son declares, Nirim Divrei Ploni, I think so-and-so is correct. And that's basically a case of Lo Machrio, he's being Machria against his father. So in the first case, Lo Soser Stvarv, he explicitly contradicts his father. Here in the second case, he's not contradicting his father, he's just saying that I agree with Ploni. In a sense, it's a different form of the same violation of Lo Soser Stvarav. It's not as confrontational, as direct, in a sense that he's not contradicting his father directly, but by indicating that Nirim Divrei Ploni, that he agrees with so-and-so in this debate, he is being, in effect, Soser Es Dvarav, he's arguing, he's contradicting his father. Now, without this Rashi, I would have wondered back and forth as to whether or not the Iser of Lo Soser Es Dvarav is referring to Halacha, to Divrei Torah, or perhaps in general to Divrei Chulin. Rashi gives you the example of Cholkim Bidvar Halacha. And you get the impression from Rashi that the Iser of both Lo Yistar Esdvarv and Lo Machrio, which is all brought in one breath in the Braisa, these Isurim are referring to Dvar Halacha. You're not allowed to be Soser your father in Dvar Halacha. You can't agree with someone who's disagreeing with your father, Nirim Divrei Ploni in Dvar Halacha. And the whole discussion here is about Divrei Torah, Divrei Halacha. However, we're going to see later on in the Achronim, specifically in one of the early Achronim, the Be'er Sheva, and he was back some four, maybe even five centuries ago, he was a great scholar in Italy. That's the Ashkenazic part of Italy, that community. He was a Talmud of the Sma, the Sefer Mira Sainayim. He was a Talmud of the Levush, Rabbi Mordechai Yaffa. This brings us back about five centuries. And a Sefer called the Be'er Sheva was authored by this. His name was Eilenberg, and it was published in the year Shin Ayin Dalit. That's over 400 years ago. And he understands that the sheet of Rashi is that both Lo Yistaris Dvarav and Lo Yachriya Dvarav both are limited to the case of Dvar Halacha. They don't apply to Divrei Chulin. Now, if you know, on the Daf in Kedushin, we have the Tosus Riyaz Zakeim. And if you take a look here on the bottom right side on page Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, you will see that he indicates Soser's Dvarav. He says Soser's Cholek Olav. He completely leaves out what Rashi had written about Dvar Halacha, and you get the impression at first reading that the Tosus Riyaz Zaken would argue that Eino Soses Dvarov is all-inclusive, not limited to what we call Divrei Torah, but it should include Divrei Chulin as well, and therefore you would not be allowed to contradict your father about anything, period. So Mili D'Alma would also be included in this Issa. That's the impression you get from the Tosus Riyaz Zaken. We'll see that there's another important point that Tosus Riyaz Zaken will get to later. He says, Dafka B'chayav. And the question is whether these Yisurim apply after his father's passing. Be that as it may, the Yisur of being Soser as Divrei Aviv is B'Divrei Torah according to Rashi. Tosus Riyaz Zaken may be extending it beyond Divrei Torah to Mili D'Alma, but the Ikar Yisur seems to be with regard to Divrei Torah. And that really raises the question of today. I mean, the main question of today: what does it mean that you cannot argue with your father, contradict your father, disagree with your father in Divrei Torah? That is very, very strange. Because if you take a look at the sugya in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, this is more of an agadita, but it does make a very important point that has tremendous bearing on our discussion today. And the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Amud Beis is darshaning a pasuk in Tehillim, and the pasuk there speaks about oivim b'shar. Ashrei Agever, blah blah blah, and it says later on, "Ki Dabru es Oivim Bishar." What is Ki Dabru es Oivim Bishar? The Gemara asks, "My es Oivim Bishar." Omer Abchia, Afilu Haav Ubno Harav Talmidei Shaoskim B'Torah Bishar Echad Nasim Oivim Ze Ze V'Einam Zozim Yishamat Shenasim Oavim Ze Ze. Shenemar, and the Gemara at the end quotes a pasuk at the end of Bamidbar, Vav v'sufal tikri v'sufal v'sofa. But be that as it may, the Gemara clearly indicates that a Rebbe and a Talmud, when they sit down b'shar echa, they're together analyzing a sugya in the Gemara, they are fighting oivim zebazeh. The Gemara includes of ubino. I mean, the classical, at least from a scriptural perspective, of a Rav and a Talmud is a father and a son. So the Av and the Ben, in the initial process of studying Torah B'Shar Echad, are Oivim Zebazeh. They're literally enemies, they're fighting each other. And it would seem that in the course of that battle, there is going to be some sort of disagreement, some sort of contradiction in which the son is contradicting his father. And basically, we can see over and over again that there is a derech, if we could say a derech of Mesiras HaTorah, which involves a battle. It's literally a war zone. And the Talmud is fighting his Rebbe. In this case, the Ben is fighting his father. And that's understood. Again, at the end, they become Oavim Zezer. That's at the ultimate end of the process. But it does seem that if a son is allowed to contradict his father within the context of the Hislavus, of the Riuta Doraisa, you know, the battle of Torah to try to clarify the Torah and try to really be malabing the sugya, they fight with each other. That's normal, and that's part of the methodology, the derech of Torah. Throughout the history of the transmission of the Torah, there's going to be vikuach. And that vikuach, discussion and disagreement, where one person asks a question, the other one gives an answer, the other one says, wait, no, your answer cannot be acceptable, that is part of the process of the transmission of Torah, which is the oivim zezeh. And that includes the sara, the storm, that applies both to a Rebbe and a Talmud and a father to a son. So therefore, it's a little bit difficult to understand where this isur of being soser as divrei ava would come to the fore. And that seems to be the ikar isur here in lo soser dvarov, lo machrias dvarov. And why is that so? And historically, it's true that from the time of the Tanoim, through all the history, through the Goyim and the Rishonim and the Achronim, until our time today, sons disagree with their father. We're going to soon see examples in the Mefarshim, on the Shulchan Aruch, that they quote cases where the Torah and Kosher Mishpat consistently disagrees with his father, the Rosh. And many times, for example, a grandson of Rashi will disagree with his grandfather. And this is all brought down in the sefer that I mentioned before, the Be'er Sheva. And Bli Neder, we'll see that inside in just a minute. I wanted to take a little bit of a slight digression, not a total digression, but on this topic of what a son is allowed or not allowed to say to his father. There's a whole sugi here in Kedushin Lamed Beis about Rav Yechezkel and Rav Yehuda Breder Abba, and with the Gemara first records a situation where there's a discussion here about Nisrafin and Niskolim. We're not going to go into the details of the sugya, but Amalei Rav Yehuda Brei, Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Yechezkel, turns to his father and he says, Abba, lo teniseyu. Lo teniseyu hachi. That's not the right, again, a very confrontational statement. Abba, that's not the right way of teaching. Meaning you're basically saying you're distorting the Torah itself. And the Gemara says that perhaps this is not the right way to, in a head-on collision, you know, to contradict your father. And the Gemara says, Omele Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Shinina lo temole lavuch hachi. That is not the way that you should, that you, Rabbi Yehuda, should turn to your father and disagree with him by saying, Abba lo teniseyu hachi. That's not the way to teach. You know, that's really a distortion of the Torah. How can you teach it in that way? And when Shmuel turns to Rabbi Yehuda to criticize the way he disagreed with his father, Rabbi Yechezkel, Shmuel quotes a brisa. D'sanya hareshaya oviv over al divrei Torah. If he sees his father violating the Torah law, al yomer lo abba avart al divrei Torah. He should not be explicit and confrontational against his father. Ela omer lo abba kach kosu b'Torah. This is what it says in the Torah. And the Gemara doesn't like that either. Kach kosev b'Torah? Tziuri kometzayrle. That's also too confrontational, and you're causing pain and anguish to your father by saying kach kosev b'Torah, as if to say, you know, in one fell swoop that, you know, you are making a mistake. That's not the way to do it. Omer lo, but you have to be much more refined about it and indirect about it instead of confrontational. Abba, mikra kosuv b'Torah kach. Rashi explains, lo temel avuchachi lo hodio pisom shehu toeh the karmet le lo tenisiu hachi. And the Gemara says that even if you tell him kach kosuv b'Torah, that's also going to cause him tsar, Harehu ki omer lo avart al divrei Torah. It's like, you know, by saying kachos of a Torah, he's saying this is against what it says in the Torah. You violated the Torah law. But rather, says Rashi, mikra ksiv ba Torah kach vi omer lo am mikra kmo shehu, simply reads the pasuk. Kasuv, as it's written in the Torah, for who atzmo yavin shetoeh, and let the father himself derive the appropriate conclusion that he made a mistake. You know, simply, in a sense, reminding him of what it says in the pasuk. There's no direct confrontation or critique of the father, and let the father come to the conclusion on his own that he is mistaken. And the Gemara goes on to say, "Omer Rav Chisda, Av Shemachal Kvodu Kvodu Machul." But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that since Kvodu Machul, I should always assume, you know, a priori that my father's going to be Mochel and constantly contradict him, or tell him that you know, he's doing the wrong thing, and he'll be Mochel on his covet. I mean, there may be cases where the father gives an explicit Mechila, but barring those few and far between cases, the assumption should be that you have to treat your father in a very sensitive way, and even if you realize that your father is making a big mistake here, don't tell him confrontationally you're making a mistake. Just remind him of the pasuk by mentioning the pasuk. Read the pasuk out loud. If you can take a look at the Tosfos Riyas Zaken here, and the print is quite small, but he gives a very interesting twist on the way that you have to tell your father if he violates the Torah. Al yomelo Abba vartal divrei Torah, but rather Abba kosev b'Torah kach v'kach, and he says the following. Mitoch she'askiro, he says the following. Omelo kishoel v'lo kimazir. I mean, there's a different tone here. You're not saying Abba, I'm warning you that, you know, you're violating the Torah law, but rather kishoel. Isn't this what it says in the pasuk? Once you change the tone and the inflection becomes that of a question, it's no longer insulting and no longer causes any undue anguish to your father. In any event, one thing is clear, that if your father is saying over divrei Torah betos, he's making a mistake, you're not supposed to say Al Tomar Kach, don't say it that way. But you can say, this is what we learned, you know, and let him, the father, derive the conclusion when you remind him of what's coming out of all this. Now, the Rush in the Tshuvas says, after he tells us that there were children, grandchildren disagreed with their fathers and their grandfathers in Halacha, he says, Ki Toras emes hi, v'ein machnifin l'shum adam. He writes that we are involved in Toras emes, and therefore there should be no falsification of the Torah just because it's your father. In any event, just to summarize this whole issue of lo listaris divrei Abba and divrei Torah, divrei Halacha, becomes very complex. We see that there are cases in the Gemara where a son disagrees with his father, and the only issue is exactly, you know, what language he should use. It should be toned down, it shouldn't be so confrontational. And that's always the challenge of a son learning with his father, to make sure that he doesn't overstep. You know, on the one hand, they're nasim oivim zelizeh, that's the Gemara says explicitly, they're involved in an honest and genuine study of the Torah, which requires questions, answers, and opinions, and disagreements. That's how we malabim the Torah, we clarify the Torah. But on the other hand, to be careful and sensitive about the language that you use. Let's take a look at the way this halach is brought down in the poskim in Shulchan Aruch, and we can begin with the tour in Siman Reish Mem, and some of them farsh him on the Torah, and then move on, Emir Tzashem, to the Shulchan Aruch himself. The Torah says, Ezu Mora, Lo Ome Mekomo, Lo Yoshe Mekomo, and then he goes on to say, Lo Sosus Dvarav, Lo Machrias Dvar, Pirush Rashi, Im Hayacholik, Im Acher B'Dvar Halacha, Lo Yomar Nirim Divrei Ploni. Says the Torah, Varamakasa, one of the Rishonim, The Ramah feels that lo machrias dvarav, the way Rashi interpreted, to say that nirim divrei ploni, well, nirim divrei ploni, since the father is having a debate with ploni, then nirim divrei ploni is basically lo yisteres dvarav. The Ramah wants to find a greater chiddush in lo machrias dvarav, which is clearly not derived or cannot be derived logically from lo soser es dvarav. So what's the chiddush of lo machria es dvarav? Says the Ramah, lafilu nirim lo divrei aviv, even in a case where in the machlokas between the father and so-and-so, the son sees his father's opinion as being the correct opinion, lo yomar nirim divrei ava, in this debate I agree with my father. No. It's like he builds himself up to say that, oh, he's going to be the final decider in this machlokes between his father and so forth and so on. If, let's say, the so-and-so who's arguing with his father has a cash on his father, he raises a certain objection, and the son comes up with a logical defense argument in favor of the position, to defend the position of his father, that he's allowed to do. He's allowed to reject and answer the question that was raised by his father's opponent in this debate, but not to say, you know what, my father's right. I'm the final authority. I can be machria. I know that my father's right. This is the tour in the name of the Ramah. And obviously this is a very relevant question. You know, very often we want to agree with our father's position and we think, we're Adarab, that's keeping our aim, right? We're building our father's position up. But the answer is no. By saying that my parents are right in this debate, they're really setting themselves up as the jury, as the judge and the final decisor. That itself is insulting to a parent. And that's what we get here from the Ramah. I don't know, one could argue the fact that Rashi said nirim divrei ploni, that he indirectly disagrees with his father by agreeing with the opponent of his father. I don't know if that implies that Rashi would not accept the Ramah. And according to Rashi's opinion, it would be acceptable to agree with one's father. And in that sense, be a machria. It's very, very hard for me to tell. I wanted to point out to you the Prisha here, which is one of the super commentaries on the tour. He says, Nira, Dahainu dafka k'sha'omer kain b'li raya mukhrachas. K'sha'omer lo k'sha'yesh lo raya mukhrachas. He says, in such a case, u'matzinu sh'rabbeinu hisig kama pa'omim l'divrei arosh aviv, this is a very important, relevant, circumscribed way of limiting this isur. In other words, within the context of the Ramah, to say nirim divrei abba is prohibited, and according to the Rashi, nirim divrei ploni is prohibited. What happens in a case, asks the Prisha, when the son has a clear-cut proof, either to support his father or against his father? And I think the Prisha here is assuming Rashi's interpretation, that he's coming to disagree with his father. And in this case, the reason for that is because he has a raya mukhrachas, an absolute, waterproof, watertight proof to support the position of the opponent of his father. That's not a machria. That's not a violation of being machria. And he amplifies this by saying that often we find the tour disagreeing with his father, the Rosh, because he has a clear-cut raya. And we find this amongst Gedolim throughout. It would seem to me that the Prisha is still a bit of a chiddush here, that because you have a raya mukhrachas, therefore you could be machria and decide, again, within Rashi's frame of reference, to say that nirim divrei ploni, and his proof is from the tour. Yeah, I'm not sure 100% if we could always, bring these kinds of proofs from the tour. And I want to show you here a sefer called Yosher Horai, which is a sefer that's written by one of the contemporaries about the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em. And if you take a look here in Sifkat Yud Ches Lo Machrias Dvarov, he writes that the Shulchan Aruch himself accepts the Ramah. Okay, this we'll see in just a moment, how the Shulchan Aruch himself quotes the Ramah to say Nirim Divrei Abba is prohibited. And he writes that Dover Zem Motsu Miyot Shibne Odom is Vakhim Beneim Shaovvo Imo Omrim is Datova Ben Maasher Shachain Heim Tzodkim. It's very common that the parents are involved in some sort of debate in the presence of the son, and the son will point out that my parents are right in this debate. And that's an Avera, and we have to be very careful about it. He says, "Omna motzui sha'ov v'imo smechem l'shmo shaben ma'ashes divrayim." Sometimes, in certain cases, it's common that the parents will be very happy that the son agrees with them and expresses that opinion, that endorsement of their father's position in this debate. V'yal shapir mutar, then it would certainly be mutar because of the principle that we saw in the Gemara of Avi Shemach al Kvodo. And then he goes on to say, V'yaf mitzvah lomar kein, since this gives nachas ruach to his parents, they're very happy that he sees it the way they see it. You know, well trained, we brought him up right. And in those cases, again, if you know that your father is waiting or hoping that you'll agree with him in this debate, then that's not only mutter, but it's even a mitzvah. Again, you have to be pretty sure about that. He says, what about a case, shemaktim she'eno kedai litein haskama li'aviv? It's like nishtav Shabbos giret, when a person says something that he shouldn't be saying on Shabbos. He says, look, who am I to get involved in this discussion, this debate? I'm worthless. I'm not worthy of doing so. But I do have a support for my father. The following reasoning leads me to the conclusion that my father is correct. And basically, if he gets the okay from his father, he gets the green light, that would be considered a mechila, and that would be okay. Now let's just take a look in the tour on the bottom of this page. He says, "Rali Avim Shavar al Divrei Torah liyomelo avarta al Divrei Torah." He's not allowed to explicitly tell his father you violated the Torah law, but rather, "Yomelo Abba kosev b'Torah kach v'kach umitoch shiyazkiro." Is Yavin Miatzmo Velo Yisbaish. So he's basically just quoting the source. Again, here it's a source from the Torah, but it could be from Poskim. And let his father decide to derive the appropriate conclusion. And here, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam, who says, Ki'ilu hu shoel mimenu velo kemashiro. We saw this language already in the Tosfos Riya Zaken. He's not warning his father that he's violating the law, but rather he's just asking him, isn't this the case? Fine. Now let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. He paskins here in Reish Mem, Sif Beis, Lo Sosis Dvar V'lo Machrias Dvar B'Fanav. Interesting. A very important addition and circumscribing this halacha. The Isur of Sosis Tvar Machrias Tvar is limited to the case of a funav in the presence of his father. In other words, we're not looking at an action which in and of itself is a violation of Mora. It's a violation of Mora in the presence of his father. That's very interesting. And it comes out that clearly according to the Shulchan Aruch, if it's Shalom B'funav, it's Mutter, because that doesn't in any way undermine the covenant of his father. Now, if you take a look at the Shach points out here in Sif Beis, "Velo sosis dvar ben shecholik olav ben sheomer lehacholik olav nirim dvarav is havi sosis dvarav." So it makes no difference whether he disagrees with his father or he turns to his father's opponent and says that I prefer your opinion. In both cases, he's Sosur et Dvarov. Again, this is all within the context of Rashi's interpretation of Sosur et Dvarov as opposed to the Ramah. And then the Shach adds, V'nira de Sosur et Dvarov Asur afilu shelo b'fanav. In other words, the Shach wants to read the word b'fanav in the Shulchan Aruch as an adjective or a condition that's being added to the Seifa. And this is the first time that we have really a differentiation between the Reisha and the Seifa. So Sosur et Dvarov lo machriyas dvarov. The Shach is saying that lo Sosur et Dvarov doesn't matter one bit whether his father is there or he's not there, even in the absence of his father, and how much more so in the presence of his father. If he is being cholik on his father, that itself undermines the kibud av. But in the case of machriya es dvarov is because of the nature of this debate that's going on in the presence of the son. The son is there and the two contestants, one of whom is his father, are right there in front of his eyes. That applies only b'fanav. The Hachras Dvarov, in which he says, you know, I like the opponent's position, that's an insult to his father in the presence of his father, but not if his father's not there. But as far as Sosur et Dvarov is concerned, you know, what's interesting is the Ramah was not happy because he thought that Rashi's interpretation of Lo Machriya is basically Lo Sosur. It's just another form. When you say Nirim Divrei Ploni and you agree with the opponent of your father, that in effect is a Stiras Dvarav. But again, Rashi Lashitaso has two categories over here, Lo Sosur Dvarav, Lo Machriyas Dvarav. And although we interpreted Rashi as Lo Machriyas Dvarav is just a more of a Chiddush of Lo Sosur, so we're expanding Lo Sosur Dvarav to the indirect stira when he says Nirim Divrei Ploni, the Shach on the other hand sees Lo Sosur et Dvarov and Lo Machriyas et Dvarov as two fundamentally different Isurim, each respectively belonging to a different category. And there's a Gevaldige Nafgemir between the two Isurim. Very impressive. The Shach is saying Lo Sosur et Dvarov, meaning to contradict your father and basically say your father is wrong about something, that's not acceptable, not b'fanav and not shelo b'fanav. Then there's a new category of b'machriyas dvarov, which means to step into a debate and find yourself siding with the opponent of your father, that's a problem b'fanav. But let's say shelo b'fanav, you want to contemplate a certain debate and you want to agree with the opponent of your father, you know, you're not contradicting him in any sort of sense. Although, again, you know, your father had a different position, but that's not called contradicting him. When you agree with a certain person's view, that's not called contradicting your father, despite the fact that your father has a different opinion. Contradicting your father is only the case where you say, you know what, my father said so and so, that's wrong. And whether your father's present or not, that Isur Sosur Dvarov applies. The Shach is saying that Lo Machriyas Dvarov is already a new category in which he says, you know, I take a stand in this Machlokas, whether the stand is at Nirim Divrei Ploni or whether it's Afilu Nivrei Divrei Abba, the way the Ramah would have it, but that's already a new category of being Machriyas Dvarov. That only applies to funa, you know, to jump into this debate that's taking place, that's transpiring right now in his presence, and the son jumps in and takes a view. He has that's a chutzpah neira. He has to sit there as a spectator very quietly. If you take a look in the Taz, again, it's a very long presentation here in the Taz, both Sif Aleph and Sif Beis, but in the middle of Sif Beis, at the beginning of Sif Gimel, Nirim Divrei Abba, again, just the tour in the name of the Ramah, that you can't even agree with your father in this debate. He writes, Batur siem shenira kimachria divrei av aviv. Elim kein yeshlo tshuva lahashiv al cholkim yashiv. Right, the tour, as we saw earlier, was permissible. He was lenient in the case of someone who could defend his father by slugging up the kasha and answering, resolving the objection that was brought by the opponent of his father. That's okay. You know, you want to defend your father's position by proving logically that the argument of your father's opponent is incorrect. That's okay. Then the Taz says, after quoting the tour, "V'hadu matzinu batur choshen mishpach tur cholek im aviv kama piyamim." So why is it that the tour disagrees with his father, the Rush, from time to time? He says, "Hainu shalo b'fanav." So here the assumption is not like the shach that we saw earlier, but lo sosis svar, lo machrias svar is one entity. The different forms or expressions of or scenarios, but it comes down to the same issue of contradicting your father, and that applies only b'fanav. But if you want to disagree with your father, shalom b'fanav. For example, the Torah is codifying the halacha here. His father's not here; he's not even alive. That is okay, because that's already shalom b'fanav, even though he's being soser stvara, but it's shalom b'fanav. Ela im yeshlo tshuva, I'm sorry, he says, kan dafka b'fanav, the whole issue is only b'fanav asur, mikom kom nira li de'imu cholek al aviv, v'yesh od acher sha'omer ke aviv, v'urotze lo chiyach, if his father is supported by another opinion of so-and-so, then when he disagrees with his father, it's best that he doesn't mention his father at all, but he should just say, "I disagree with so-and-so," which inadvertently, which in effect means that he's disagreeing with his father, but it's not a direct. We see over and over again that the halacha requires a certain sensitivity to avoid this kind of head-on contradiction, confrontation, and by disagreeing with so-and-so, who again happens to agree with his father, that's an indirect kind of contradiction or confrontation. So when we look at the history of Talmudic literature, we find with the Tanoim and the Goyim and the Rishonim that they argue on their forefathers and their fathers, we're going to say that that's Shalom Bifneim. And we're going to rely heavily here on the logic of the tour, who says that this whole Iser is only b'fanav. Once again, that's not going to be satisfactory from the perspective of the Shach, because the Shach is saying that if you are soser es dvarav, that's usur even shalom b'fanav. The distinction, the way the Shach understands the tour between b'fanav and shalom b'fanav, only applies specifically to the lachria business, when you step in and express your view as a son in a debate that's going on between your father and his opponent in your presence. But as far as being soser stvarav and disagreeing with him and saying, you know, this opinion is incorrect, that's not something that you can do even shalom b'fanav, according to the Shach. And therefore, we're back to square one in terms of the, as what I call the history of halacha, the development of halacha, which we find that there's constantly repetitions, not only in the tour against his father Rosh, of scenarios where the son disagrees with his father to say shalom b'fanav. That's not going to help us according to the Shach. Perhaps we would have to take a different opinion, that maybe if you have a raya muchrachas, then it becomes like the sugya that we saw in Kedushin of Oivim. Or perhaps we can take the approach of the Taz and say, well, you don't disagree with your father, but you disagree with so-and-so who happens to agree with your father, and that's indirect. Maybe that would be the explanation for what went on during the course of history. In any event, we mentioned earlier the Prisha on the tour, and if you take a look at the Prisha, you get the impression that when you have a raya gemura, you're allowed to disagree with your father. And I didn't think that we would find anything explicit to support the prisha, but if you take a look at the Truma Sadeshen, which you'll find here on page 4, he writes, on the Mashka Saftim Ein L'Talmid Rishus Lachlok Al Rav V'Ezeb Psak Horah Im Yesh Lo Rayas Min HaSefer U'Piskei HaGaonim Hefech Midas HaRav Nira Vaday Im Horos Buros K'tzas V'Tzurosa D'Shmaita Mashma K'Diri HaTalmid Is Loma Lo Yachlokach. And therefore, he goes on to conclude, Kachi Darka Shal Torah Mimei HaTanoim Rabbeinu HaKadosh Cholot Kam Kama Salom Val Rabba Rash Rav Shimon Gamliel Biam Aroim Rav Vayecholi Kama Dukti Al Rabba Shoyer Rabbo. And he goes on to quote case after case where we find Talmidim disagree with their Rebbeim, sons disagree with their fathers. That's Darka Shal Torah Mimei HaTanoim. What do we do with that? Says the Truma Sadeshen, that's because in Horah you can disagree with someone if you have a Raya Mukrachas. So exactly what we saw in the Prisha, we see again in the Truma Sadeshen, and this would really help us in the context of the Shach, who says that the Iser of being Soser Stvarim applies even Shalom B'Fanav. How do we justify what went on with the Tanoim and the Rishonim throughout history? The answer could be like this Truma Sadeshen and the Prisha that we saw earlier, that with a Raya Mukrachas, you're allowed to do so because Kach Hi Darka Shel Torah, that's the way we clarify the truth of Torah, that's the system, that's the methodology, and that was done historically throughout, and you'll see it over and over and over again. The question is, are these limitations, or this limitation, as we saw in the Truma Sadeshen, which is way before the preacher and the preacher himself, are they brought down lehalacha? And I would like to show you in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Kvod Rabbo. Again, we're going really by leaps and bounds here from Kvod Aviv Imo and Reish Mem, and now we're fast forwarding to Reish Mem Beis. That's two full simonim later with regard to Kvod Rabbo, Shalola Horos Bifnei Rav, and all the dinim of how we have to be mechabed our Rebbe, right? Yehi Morcha, Mora Ravcha, Kamora Shamayim. And the Shulchan Aruch opens his discussion by saying that the chiyuv of Kvod Rabbo and Yeroso, Mora Rabbo, is even greater than Aviv. And he writes about Cholik al Rabbo and Cholik al Shechina. But then in Sif Gimel, when he talks about Ezu Cholik al Rabbo, he says it's kolkov shekovelo medrash v'yoshev v'dorish malami shelo kirshus rabbo. There's a whole to do over here where he sets up a bezdin and his rebbe is alive and he's not even getting rishus from his bezdin. But if you take a look in the Ramaz comment here, he says avol muto lachlok olav b'yezep sako ra im yeshlo rayos muchrochos l'dvarav shadin imo. And I have no doubt here that the Ramaz is codifying the Truma Sadeshen by saying that you're allowed to disagree with your Rebbe in any issue in Horah as long as you have Rayos Mukhrachos. You have what you consider to be absolutely foolproof logical conclusions and demonstrations. And that, as we said before, if it's part of the Halacha, and we see it here in the Ramah, based on the Truma Sadeshen, would justify the entire history of Halacha. If the Ramah is saying this about Rabbo, and that's even a greater chiyuv of Mora than Aviv, then with a Kal V'chomer, we could say that in the case of Aviv, you would certainly be allowed to be cholikim Aviv if you had Rayos Mukrachos, absolutely convincing demonstrations and proofs. And that would be the green light to allow one to disagree with his father when he has these Rayos and Hochachos L'dvarav. Now, there's a very interesting Pisrei Tshuva here, which I think adds a whole new dimension to this entire discussion about the, as I call it, the history of the development of the Talmud. And basically what you'll see in the Pisrei Tshuva, in the name of the Sefer Atzmos Yosef, he writes, Mikan Sheyecholim Lahakshos Vilitarates and back and forth, v'afilu, just let me read again the print. I'm sorry, I apologize. It's a little bit small here, so I just wanted to get the language of the Pesachei Tshuva. Ulahasik maskonis halach v'embazem mishum soser tvara. And basically, what the Pesachei Tshuva is presenting here, and I think this is absolutely a breakthrough here in this whole discussion, is that what the Atzmaus Yosef is claiming is that when a son is asking questions and answering questions and coming to conclusions on halacha within the framework of this battle, this military campaign of Torah, the Milchamta Shel Torah, there's no Iser Soser Dvarav. And you can take a look at this, another, shall I say, presentation of the same idea in the Aruch HaShulchan, back in Kibud Avim Siman Reish Mem, where he writes that Eich Ef Shalom She'ein Lachlok B'dinim Al Ov V'Alo Toras Hashem Hi V'hi Toras Emes V'ein Machnifim Bo V'afil B'fon Av Yochla Ben Lefalpel Im Oviv L'Hakshus V'listo L'Hamid Alocha Al Mechona. He says that Darka Shel Torah requires a question and answer and a disagreement till we come up to a final conclusion. This is all in his language, Pilpula Shel Torah. And Pilpula Shel Torah means that it's in a specific context in which the father and the son are explicitly sitting down to learn the sugya. And that puts their limud into an entirely different category. If you take a look in the bottom left, in the Ben Ish Chai, a similar idea, he writes, HaBenim Oviv Yochel Lahakshus Lutaris Lahavik Maskonis HaAlocha V'Yem Bezeh Chashash V'Yisum Sosu Dvara V'Yayim Pesachei Tshuva. So basically, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Ben Ish Chai are accepting the approach of the Pesachei Tshuva. The Ben Ish Chai and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Pesachei Tshuva all are saying that there's no violation of Soser Stvav within the context of the Nasim Oivim Zebezeh the Derech Pilpul, the obligation and the endeavor to sit down and work through a sugya together, clarifying, asking questions, and answering questions. This is all acceptable in that context. And if you take a look at the Chazon Ish, you'll see something again very, very similar in Simon Kuf Mem Tes, where he writes, Niradavka Beloshen Achlota. He says, to be Sosis Dvarv means that you say something in a definite way. I'm absolutely convinced that that is wrong. However, Liton Besvar Lahakshos, if you're arguing with a logical premise, or you're asking a question, raising an objection, that's Mutar Sheikol Talmidim Donu Bifnei Rava V'Sasu Divreyam. This is the way Torah was taught and transmitted through the generations. He gives examples of Rabbi Akiva and other examples from different sugyas. And he says, don't tell me that there was some sort of a mechila process going on. I don't believe that for a moment. You don't require an explicit mechila here in order to allow the Talmud to raise objections and logical questions and so forth against his Rebbe or a son against his father. That's all Tainus Svara, and that's all Derech Pilpul, and that's the way it was done throughout the generations. That's absolutely acceptable. Now, it's probably true that what underlies this approach, that Derech Pilpul is mutter, and you can disagree, and match, and so forth and so on, that's all based on Mechila. I don't know. One could say so. But in the Chazon Ish, you don't get that impression. Rather, you get the impression that lo mistav, it's not logical that we're predicating our leniency here on Derech Pilpul, but rather this is the way Torah has to be transmitted. And I think, again, the longest of it is that although lo sosis tvarf means that it's a personal attack against one's father, that's objectionable. But nevertheless, in the case of Pilpula Shel Torah, to clarify the Torah and make sure that we have an understanding of the Torah that's precise, that's meticulous, that can withstand all the questions, that's fine-tuned, that's not a disagreement, get my father. This is already the Heftishal Torah. No, it's the debate here is not between me and my father. The debate is here about the Cheftz Shel Torah. Torah, as an objective body of truth, has to be clarified, and there's going to be questions, there's going to be disagreements until we finally come to some conclusion. That's not a personal affront. I'm not attacking you, I'm attacking the Torah. And I think that really is the lumpness here between the Gavra and the Cheftz, if you will, as to what Soser Estvarv means. If it's Soser Estvarv meaning you're jumping on the Gavra, that's a serious problem. That's a real violation of Mora Aviv. If, on the other hand, you're not disagreeing with your father, but rather you're disagreeing with the Torah as a Cheftz Shel Torah, that's, on the contrary, that's part of the mitzvah, that's essential to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, transmission of Torah and the clarification of Torah. Now, we mentioned before that although Rashi tells us that this whole discussion about being Soser Estvarv, Machriya Estvarv is referring to Divrei Torah, we did, however, indicate from the Tosis Riyazokin that we're talking about Divrei Chulin as well. And this is codified by the Aruch HaShulchan in the same paragraph. He starts by saying, Yesh L'Stapik, again, we're in Resh Mem Sifkot and Yud Gimel, Yesh L'Stapik B'mili D'Alma and Rashai Listar Dvarav L'Achriya. He says, Ule Dafka V'Torah V'Heder Kavlo B'mili D'Alma L'Hefech. He says, perhaps we could say the opposite is true. The Kevah D'Afilu B'Divrei Torah Oser, how much more so Kolshkein B'mili D'Alma V'Cheinir L'Iker V'Dor V'Poshethu. In other words, a person has to fulfill the will of his father. And by disagreeing with his father, that's not exactly a lishma b'ritzono v'daita shel aviv. And therefore, b'mili d'alma, if he has a das, if he has the opposite opinion of his father, expressing that opinion would be a violation of lo soser es dvarav. The Aruch HaShulchan initially vacillates about this, but comes to a definite conclusion, and he holds its poshut that b'mili d'alma, for sure, there would be an iser. And that was the way we understood the Tosfos Riyazokin. So if in Divrei Torah it's also to be Soser Estvarv Kolshkein, in Divrei Chulin, Divrei Mili D'Alma, the Chayyadim codifies this in Hilchas Kibud Av Va'Em Klal Samach Zayin, V'lo Lister Estvarav, he writes, Bein B'Dvar Halacha O B'Shar Inyonim, you cannot contradict your father in Divrei Torah, and how much more so not in Mili D'Alma. That's the Chayyadim, Bein D'Dvar Halacha O B'Shar Inyonim, and that we saw in the Aruch HaShulchan, and the truth is, intuitively, this is logical. It's also something that you could see, you know, we usually don't, in a halachic discussion, we don't quote the Sefer HaMakdeh of the Baal HaFla. That's more of an Ian Lumda Sefer on Masech the Kedushin, but if you take a look on this Sugyan Kedushin of Lo Sosos Dvarav Mora Aviv, he writes on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Kol Dover Shemitzuvalo Matzavalo Aviv Af B'Dover She'eno Li Aviv Shum Hano Mimenu She'eno V'Chlal Kibud Afilu Hachim Ein L'Shum Ein L'Ben Shum Hefsi Mimenu Ze B'Chlal Mora Shem Lo Yishmalo Havi Kisoser Es Dvarav. Interesting. He is mechadesh that although the mitzvah of kibud only applies to be mahana the aviv, and therefore technically, if your father commands you to do something and he, the father, gets no physical benefit or pleasure from it, it's not within the purview of kibud av va'emo, but does come, says the Hamakne, into the principle of mora, because if he doesn't listen to his father, it's like he's so seres dvara. His father asked him to do him so and so. To do this or not do this, he's being soser, his father, by saying, I'm not going to do what my father said I should do. Even though, again, there's no anor for his father, so it's not kibud, but it's mora because he's being soser his dvar. And this could go very far. Again, that's not for us today, but let's say your father tells you, I want you to go to, you know, you get accepted to two different colleges, two different universities, and your father chooses one over the other. Certainly that's not kibud aviv, but yet it might come under mora aviv, because he's saying to his father, you know what, I don't want to go to that university, that's not a good idea, I'm going to go to this university. He's deciding that his father's judgment is incorrect. That's soser es dvara. And clearly, this has nothing to do with Divrei Torah. And in marriage, you know, shiduchim, this becomes very relevant. You know, your parents absolutely object to you marrying a certain woman that you would like to marry. And do you have to listen to them? But it's a little bit complicated, because although this is paskin in Simon Reish Mem in your day that you don't have to listen to your parents, like does come over kibud, it's not there, I know. But nevertheless, would it come on the Mora Aviv and violate Lo Soser Estvar, because your parents don't want you to marry this woman? And he writes, Mashma Diludvar Machirim Afal Pisha Ein La Av Hanoimenu Tzorach Lishmalo. And he suggests the Sefer Matna that the case of parents who object to you marrying a particular woman would be a paradigm case of Soser's Dvarv, except that within the context of marriage, there's a special dispensation and a special permission that the halacha allows you to marry this woman because you have chosen her for your wife. This is the woman you want to marry. Other scenarios similar to this one, where your father objects to you doing X, Y, or Z, to violate your father's will would constitute a Soser Dvarav and an Iser of Mora Aviv. But clearly what I wanted to bring out from the Sefer HaMakneh is that he's on board with the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chayei Adam, that the Iser of Soser Dvarav is not in any way limited to Divrei Torah. We're talking about way beyond the confines of Divrei Torah. We're really talking about the world at large, mili di alma, and that seems to be the case. The Sefer HaMakneh brings a raya from the Ma'arik with regard to marriage, and that Ma'arik is indeed codified in the Ramah, and maybe we'll get a chance to see that a little bit later on. In any event, the bottom line here is Rashi. I mean, that's what we're confused about, because against Rashi speaks about Soser Estvar B'Divrei Halacha B'Divrei Torah, and one could certainly argue that Rashi is B'Davka here B'Dvar Halacha. But you know, to argue with him Mili D'Alma, it's not really significant. You know, it lacks the chashivas of an argument here of being Soser Estvar. Clearly, in the Tosri Yazaka, we don't get that impression, and all the poskim are being very frum about this, very machmir about this, in terms of being Soser Dvar Binyani Di Alma. But I do want to say that Lefi Ani is Daiti. I'm not, obviously, this is not a halachic statement, a psak, but Rashi would seem to stand on his own over here and say that Mil di Alma is just Mil di Alma. It's like it's lacking in significance. You have to imagine disagreeing with your father about whether the bird in the cage, you know, in the zoo that you see, is, you know, does it have five colors or six colors? You know, and the argument is about, you know, one of its nails is looks red instead of blue. I mean, this is what we call in modern Hebrew shtuyot. It's stupidities. It's insignificant. That's not really, that doesn't carry the weight of being Soser es Dvarav. Now, we saw the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Mem, Hilchas Kibud Av Ha'Em. On the Gilyon of the Shulchan Aruch, there is a Rabbi Kveger, and the Chidush Rabbi Kveger says, Ein V'Ber Sheva. And if you take a look at that Be'er Sheva, which we had indicated before, you know, the Rav in Italy, he brings many sugyas in which Darka Shel Torah is for a son to argue with his father. And then when the Brisa says, Lo Yistas Dvarav, according to the Be'er Sheva, this is only in Divrei Chulin. So we go from Minakotza Lakotza. We have every possible combination here that you can think of. You might have Rashi is saying that the Issur Lo Soser Dvarav is limited only to Divrei Torah. You have the Be'er Sheva who would insist that in Divrei Torah, on the contrary, you are obligated to disagree with your father if you think he's wrong. In the Be'er Sheva's perspective, the only case of Sosis Varv is Divrei Chulin. And then right in the middle, we have the Chayodom and the Orcha Shulchan and possibly the Sefer Makta, the way we interpret it, as maintaining that both in Divrei Torah and in Divrei Chulin, Dvar B'Alma, there is an Iser of Lo Yistar Es Dvarav. The Shevet HaLevi, who passed away not long ago, is of the opinion that this quote of the Be'er Sheva on the part of the Gaon Rabbi Kiveger, that Enososis Dvar only applies to Mili the Alma of Dvar Alocha Mutar, says the Shevet HaLevi Kvar Cholku Olav Kol HaRishonin. He quotes not only Rashi, but the assumption is that all the Rishonim disagree. He mentions the Marshal and the Yam Shel Shlomo. Ay, hodem atzinu harbe machlokos alvos in bodem v'dvar aloch mikomakom derech stira v'derech hachra osur. Again, if you want to get into a pilpul and a theoretical debate and a conceptual analysis of the sugyan lovedness, that's fine. You can disagree with your father. But to directly contradict your father's opinion in Torah and halacha, to be machriya halacha against your father, in a definite sense, that's being soser es dvar. Again, maybe in the tour it's not being soser es dvar shalom b'fanav is rosh tzaneh, or maybe as rayas mukhrachos, the derech pilpul here is not applicable to explain the tour, but maybe some of the other approaches would be applicable to either argue that it's he has a rayas mukhrachas against his father, or it's shalom b'fanav using the tour, the Shulchan Aruch says Dafka b'fanav, again without the Shach's limitation. Now, would there be an Iser of Soser es Dvarov in business? For example, let's say, and this is very common, that the son goes into his father's business and they work together at close proximity on a daily basis, almost 24/7. And Maisim Kol Yom, we have disagreements about business and how to invest the business and a million and one issues and decisions that have to come by. Inevitably, there are going to be disagreements, and the son will have to be very careful. If you assume again that everyone is. Just about everyone except for Rashi is on board that you cannot be Sosis Dvarav b'mili d'alma, find the exact nusach, or shall I say the approach and the context to disagree with your father if you're in business with him. And if you take a look back in the Sefer Yosher Horai, he writes, Hey Iru Kamadei Olam Sha'ovdi L'Parnosam Yachin im Aviv shematzim yod sheish chiluke deos bein ha'av leben bedarkei nil ha'esek u'pomim rabos ha'av toem mamish machmas gilo ha'mavugar. And it's even more common, he says, that the father who established the business and is primary CEO of the business, yet in his later years he's not as sharp as he was in his early years, and therefore he's going to make mistakes that could be critical in business. He says, so what happens if the son tries his best to suggest to his father another possible approach, and he speaks to his father with great respect, nevertheless it just doesn't do it? The father is still omed al ta'uso, he's still insisting to do it the wrong way. What should the ben do in order to avoid a sin? And we're not, therefore, advocating that a son should try to avoid, under all costs, going into business with his father. Nira she's tadal shovim shiomelo shuritzono l'shma daito. He's got to get to the position, to the point to which he encourages his father to be interested in his son's opinion, and at that point he can be soser es dvarav. So that's the real challenge. If the father is absolutely adamant, with his experience, and without realizing that he may be making a critical mistake, how do you get the father to open up to, wanting to thirst and to thirst to hear to his son's opinion? He speaks also about the possibility of the son finding an indirect way of disagreeing with his father. Beremiza, I don't know, he hints, he goes around, badinut, you know, with sensitivity. And again, all these things require a tremendous amount of wisdom and chachma in the diplomatic sense of how to deal with the parent. And this is true in general in Kibbutz Av Va'Em, especially with regard to elder parents, lav dafka within the context of a business, you know, that's being run by both the father and son at close, at, you know, at close range. He has here Masha Shalto see Sheila Chenogasa Mitzah Hamur Biochal Kibravaim, Hidimiaitos Chachosni Yakar, Shitam Timshokhes Yodcha Mino Indian Vialtis Dakik Elov. That there may be situations in which this becomes such a common, difficult problem that maybe just try to avoid situations of confrontation. Maybe don't even work with your father. I don't know how far we can go. But again, the halach of Kibbutz Av is very chomor. It's very severe. I mean, hukash kvodom l'kvodom makom. And again, every case is a little bit different, but the sensitivity has to be there, and the constant awareness of how to deal with these very thorny, sticky situations that come up constantly within the context of business. And then we have the question of a tzava. Let's say a father leaves a last will and testament, and he tells the son exactly what he's meant to do after his, meaning the father's passing. And this is the subject of a tshuva of Rabbi Kivega and Simon Samach Ches in the tshuva of Rabbi Kivega. Shalti v'esek tzavas aim. In this case, the mother left the tzavas who neged tzavas ha'av. There was a disagreement between the father and the mother. They each left two contradictory tzavos, and whether you should accept your mother's opinion or your father's opinion. And this becomes a very difficult situation in its own right, because, you know, while your mother's married to your father, they're both alive and well, the marriage is healthy. That's one case. But here, you know, it's a whole different story. But in any event, when he gets to the definition of tzavas aviv, he writes, "Gam ze inyan kibud shenizar b'divreim v'efshad u'bichal morish tzarch lira shalo lavar al tzavasam v'zeh shayach l'din eino soser es dvarav." And then he quotes the Taz, which we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, that eino soser es dvarav is only b'fanav. Again, that's not the way the Shach understood the Mechaber, but that's the way the Taz understood the Mechaber. And therefore, l'chora, according to this kula, that the Iser of Sosa Svarv only applies b'fanav, in the case of Tzavah, you might argue, says Rabbi Kveger, but it's mistaken, that here there's no problem. He says, no. Kim Tzavah so shiny, the Eino b'chlal Sosa Svarv. He says, "Aval shalom lavral tzavasu in yin acher v'shayach b'chol yin af shalom b'funav v'ued din liacher misa." Somehow, magically, the understanding of Rabbi Kivega classifies tzavas aviv and even liacher misa under a separate category, and it's irrelevant and independent of the isur being sosa dvarav. In the hachra, the final conclusion of Rabbi Kivega is that the issue of non-compliance or non-fulfillment of his father's last will and testament is something that is more severe, and the father's tzava is more binding, and it goes beyond the confines of Mora Aviv and applies even Shalom in front of even Leachar Mosa. And if you look in Rav Ovadia Yosef, in the Alkut Yosef, which is right below the Chus from Bikvega here, he says, "Im Shaykh Din Shalososus Dvarav Bi'i Kiyum Tzavos Ovelachar Misayim Shuvas Rabbi Kivega Ditzidet Stiro Divrei Aviv Leka Bazer Aval Shalom Lavar Al Tzavosu In Yin Acher V'Shaykh Kam Liachar Misa V'Helashon Di Ova Metzal V'No Tzrichim L'Kaimis Tzavosu." And he quotes the Shut Chavas Yorish M'Chuyiv L'Kaim Tzavosu, and both the Chavas Yoyer, that's Bachrach, and Rabbi Kivega both agree that a son is obligated to be Mekayim the Tzavah of his father, the will of his father. L'chora, says Rabbi Yosef Lavral Hatzavo Toli Machlok Sataz Vashaz Shalom Befanov Beshut Shvus Yaakov Lomatzinu She Ha'odom Chayev L'kayim Divrei Ames Zulas Tzava Shal Chalukas Mamono. The Shvus Yaakov wants to differentiate between the obligation of upholding the father's last will and testament in financial matters, in terms of divvying up the funds and the possessions. That's where the tzava is mechayev. So the chiyuv of the son to be mechayev his father's tzava is limited to finances, and anything beyond that comes under kibud av v'em. And there's no kibud av v'em shelo b'funav liachar misa. And even Rav Vegar agrees that. However, there is a context of geder mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames in and of itself. The question is whether that goes beyond Yerusha, with beyond the finances. And it would really seem logically, although again, this has to be really taken under advisement for further investigation, it could be a shir unto itself, whether or not beyond finances there's some sort of separate, beyond finances and beyond kibud av v'em, there's some sort of separate independent chiyuv, an obligation to mekayem tzavos aviv. In some, this is the existential will of father, that's what I have to be mekayem. There's a very interesting discussion in the later poskim, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, one of our contemporaries from Bnei Brak, who wants to know, what about the case of a son who really is absolutely convinced that his father needs medical treatment and a doctor should be called, and his father, even though he's not feeling well, his father doesn't want a doctor to come? And would that be stiras divrei aviv if he wants to call a doctor for his father and guarantee his father's health? The physician has to come. There are other discussions in this sefer here that we have here called the Yosher Horai with regard to a case of a father who's playing an instrument or he's singing a song and he makes a mistake. How should the son, in a very nice way, try to correct his father? And you have cases where a father's reading a book and he skips letters or words, and what should the son do? The father, for example, accuses his son and wants to rebuke his son for something that his son was not guilty of. How does he disagree with his father about the very premise that his father is operating with, that he, the son, was in violation of some sort of avera? His father wants to give mussar about it and tol chacha. And in many cases, the poskim, with a great deal of sensitivity, will advocate that you get a third party here, that the son should call in someone else. Again, someone else should fit the following profile: someone that his father will respect, his father has a relationship with him, let's say his father's Rebbe. In the case, for example, his father needs medical treatment, maybe by bringing, his father's Rebbe or someone else that his father respects into the picture, that person could persevere and influence his father to see a physician, to call in a physician. Of course, again, if we're talking about pikuach nefesh, nothing to talk about. In a dire, urgent situation which the son realizes if he doesn't get a doctor immediately, forget about what the father says or doesn't say. If there's a chash of pikuach nefesh, that's a dover poshut. He has to call the physician faster than he can possibly do. But in other situations, the question is if he can somehow suggest, bring in someone who can suggest to his father that they call a physician. Again, with elderly parents, these situations come up all the time. And again, your father's accusing you wrongfully of doing something that you never did and committing a crime that was not you, it was somebody else, and your father's mistaken. you've got to find a very sensitive way of not violating Lo Sosus Dvarav and explaining to your father, dad, you know, that can you rethink this? It wasn't me. In any event, I just want to end by saying that this is a fascinating topic, very complicated and very severe. Dvarav Om Dibarumo Shalol Nirotzon, we should be Zocha to fulfill the great mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em and all its ramifications, all its applications. The schars, of course, Arichas Yomim, Olam Hazeh, and Olam Haba, and I've seen, Baruch Hashem, in our family, tremendous examples of Kibud Av V'Em, children and grandchildren dedicated to bring Nachas Ruach and fulfill the will of their parents, their grandparents. Tavo Aleim Bracha, we should be Zochet to all the brachas for all the mitzvahs, to literally enjoy and revel in the beauty and the complexity and the sensitivity of the halacha in all aspects, beinon lemakom, beinon lechavero, and will be zocha to fulfill the Torah as it was given and bring nachas ruach takodesh baruch to our parents. Ken yiratzon, amen.